Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome back to Passions Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the soap opera passions. I am your regular host, Latara, back again with one of the most fabulous guest hosts I have ever had, Uche.
Hi, everybody. So excited to be back.
Uche, I'm so glad to have you back. I'm so excited for us to like talk some more because you were so much fun to talk to last week about the show. And like, I got a lot of compliments. A lot of people commented on the show, sent me messages about how great you were. So I hope you know how loved and appreciated you are from all of us.
It felt so good. I was like reading some messages in the Discord and just like on the watch party on Friday. Like, it was just so sweet. I was like, wow, y'all, I'm making an impact. This is great.
And let me tell you, they do not lie. They will tell you straight up. They will tell you, listen, girl, do not have her back on. She was no good. Like, they will tell you. So the fact that they were giving you compliments, it means a lot. So, and let's talk about the Patreon. I want to give a shout out to all my patrons over on Patreon. Thank you to Munashe, Marcus, Bree Lynn, Lisa, Sid, Serana, Randall, Hannah, Camelia, Samantha, Jeanette, Eric, Fantasia, Sean, S, Larissa, Maria, George Lopez Fitzgerald, Lisa, Jessica Jean, Laura, Karen, Uche, who's here with us today, Justin, and Paige. Thank you all so much for being patrons. I love you. You're the reason. You're the wind beneath my wings. You're the wind beneath my wings, and you keep me going and keep me motivated. If you would like to become a patron, go on over to patreon.com/passionspodcast and sign up for whatever tier you find agreeable. We have some events coming up, another watch party, a game night on the 23rd, and then a watch party, I think, on the 28th. And also, one thing I haven't said in a while is that if you are a member of the Patreon, on any tier above $2, you get the episodes a week early. So that's why sometimes when I'm announcing things, you've already missed it because I'm announcing things in time for the Patreon. And I'm trying to get better about that, but I do put this show out. The week that I recorded is the same week that I put it up on the Patreon. So it gets a little tough to do things, announce things for the future. But yes, go join the Patreon so that you can stay abreast of all the things, all the fun we're having over there. So with that, it's time to talk about passions. It was a good week.
It was a great week. We had so much stuff happen. Like, I was super excited when I started seeing things starting to flow. And I was like, ooh, we gonna talk this week for sure.
Listen, and like since last week, we had a good time and nothing happened. So this week, y'all better for real strap in. For real. So, you know, take down your titties, strap down your pussies, and get ready. Because we got some stuff to talk about. We're going to start in Bermuda and get this shit over with. We're gonna get over this little hump. So,
hold on one second. I was cackling because I watched the first two episodes and saw no Brian and Sheridan or Brian and Diana. And I was like, oh my God, we might not get them this week. And the next episode begins and it's Sheridan. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I didn't miss them a bit. I literally didn't even remember that they were in this show. That's like how unmemorable and how unremarkable this storyline is right now to me. That I did not miss them at all for those first two episodes of the week. Yeah. And then when they showed up again, I was like, oh yeah, we have to do this. Mm. There's not much to talk about, but I do want to talk some shit about Brian. So Let me just do that. Let me take a moment to do that. So, first of all, Luis and Beth have left the island. They're off on their plane back to Harmony. And Luis is talking about, when I get back to Harmony, I'm going to kill Julian Crane, right? Because he just found out that Julian has married Teresa. And Beth, I know that's your girl, but Beth says, well, maybe Teresa wanted to marry him. Girl, if you don't shut the fuck up.
I was so mad when she said that. I was like, girl, no, she didn't. Like, really? Julian, of all people? No.
Maybe Teresa don't want to marry that man. Maybe she wanted to marry him. And no, she didn't. Anyway, they make it back to Harmony, and we will follow them when we get to Harmony. Meanwhile, on the island, Brian is walking Sheridan over to that boat, to Beth's boat, because they're supposed to be right. sailing it back to Harmony. He doesn't know that they're sailing it to Harmony yet, but that the boat that they're supposed to be sailing back to the States is what he says. And he's walking her around the boat, and he's all excited, and he's like, you know, I think it's fate that you and I sail this boat together. I think you and I are fated to be together, Diana. And then he lunges in to give her the sloppiest fucking kiss that I've ever seen. I was so disgusted. I yelled, no! I hit the space bar on my computer to pause so damn hard. I was like, no! I could not. But when I pulled it back up, when I pushed, you know, unpause, press play, Sheridan had the same sentiments.
She was not having it at all. At all.
She was not into it. She was like, ugh. She was so disgusted by him. I'm sorry. But anyway, she pushed him off and was like, no, and then she apologized to him, which I hate. That this is a thing we have to do as women, I think, to kind of protect ourselves.
Right.
Because I've done it. I've rejected a man's like advances and apologized to him for it, even though I shouldn't have to apologize. I don't want it. No, thank you.
Right.
You know? But she apologized. Like, I'm sorry, Brian. It's just, I got the strangest feeling when I got on this. I've been having the strangest feeling being on this boat. It's making me really uncomfortable. I'm having really bad memories of almost drowning at sea. Yes, of course.
I wonder why, girl. I wonder why.
Of course. So she says, I'm sorry. I can't sail this boat back to the States with you because I'm afraid of being out of sight of land right now. Understandable.
Like, you literally had three water incidents in like the last week, honestly. So yeah. Like, it makes sense why you're a little uncomfortable. Yeah,
you should fear the ocean. You should have a healthy fear of the ocean right now. So she says she can't do it. And then she talks about this deep love that she shared with the man that she loved and that one day they'll come back together. And then Brian is like, but you said he was dead. Every time he says, you said he was dead, I crack up. Cause I'm just like, God, he's so stuck on that one thing that this amnesiac told him, you know? I don't know that I would cling to it the way he does.
Yeah, he's like so stuck on it. And it's like, bro, like we truly don't know if this long lost lover is dead. Like, we know that he may have died in her dreams because she just is like crying over his body. But like, we don't know when that was in the timeline of her life. So truly, like, you just being like, he's dead, like, he might not really be dead, which we already know he's not dead. He's down there. Well, he was just with y'all.
Yeah, he was just there. And he certainly is not dead. He's alive and kicking because he gets his hands on Julian.
I was like, honestly, I was getting a little hot. I was like, I was getting a little excited.
I mean, too. I don't know. Something about a little subtle violence that just gets me going. No, I'm joking.
Okay.
So yeah, he's clinging to this. Whatever. Luis is very much alive and sexy and fine.
Yeah.
But anyway. Meanwhile, at the hotel, Liz is talking to the doctor about Harmony. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, he has to take this boat back to Harmony. Every time they say Harmony, it is so dramatic. I love it. It's like they obviously have connections to Harmony. Yeah. Because she does it here, and then Brian shows up and finds out about Harmony, and he also has like an oversized reaction to it. And of course, Diana has a huge reaction to the word
haunted. Huge reaction to the word and nothing else.
Yeah. So, Liz, we get just a, this is only important for like Liz's character development. We get a moment where she's talking to herself and she's like, maybe it's time for me to stop running and go back to Harmony. I did have a good life there or something like along those lines. There were happy times in Harmony, you know. So we starting to find a little bit about Liz. And then Brian comes and Liz tells him that the boat has to be sailed back to Harmony. Mm-hmm. And Diana hears that. She drops a coffee cup, smashes it. It's like, Harmony?
Reaction on 12.
Yeah. And she goes, I know a town called Harmony. I remember Harmony. And then they question her about it and they say, well, what do you remember? And she's like, nothing.
Zero. Zilch. Nada. Not a damn thing.
I remember nothing about Harmony, but just the word itself has like made me evoke this reaction in me. So it must have a link to my past. Fair enough, you know? Reasonable enough. Well, then she asks them, do either of you know anything about Harmony? And it's so obvious that they both know plenty about Harmony, but they feign ignorance. They're like, oh, I believe it's a coastal town in Massachusetts. I believe it's close to some skiing. I used to ski around there. I don't know. I may have driven through once or twice. It was just so suspicious. The doctor's like, I think they might know more than they're letting on. Like, over in the corner.
He's like creeping in the background, like he left to go, I don't know, talk to the aliens or some shit. Yeah. And then he's like, they definitely know something about Harmony. I'm like, bro, you could have just stayed here and said that to their faces.
Yeah. And then Diana leaves for some reason. I think it's got to do with that cup. I'm not entirely sure. Mm-hmm. But this just gives Brian and Liz a moment to talk about Harmony. Mm-hmm. And Brian asks Liz about the owner of the boat. And she says, oh, it's Wallace. And he's like, Beth? And she's like, how the fuck do you know? He's like, oh, I don't know. She was like, well, you said her name like you know her. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I don't know her. I just, you know. And then he says, so about this, the guy that was here in number 9, what was his name again? And she's like, it's something less Leroy. Lula. And he goes, Luis? And she's like, yeah, that was it. Child, you 2 for 2. Something is obviously going on. Something is obviously going on. But of course, he pretends like, I just guessed it. There's no, whatever.
a vision.
And then we find out that they basically have an agreement to never talk about their past or ask each other about their past lives and what happened before they were on the island. So Brian tells her to drop it. Mm-hmm. And she does. She kind of backs down. And then Diana is, I don't know what she was doing. I don't remember. Frankly, if I'm being honest with y'all,
it don't matter.
I was not paying a lot of attention to this because I do not fucking care.
Yeah.
But eventually she comes back saying, you know what? I changed my mind. I would like to go to Harmony. I think that there's a link between me and this town. But before that, Brian tells Liz, get somebody else to do it. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not taking this boat back to Harmony. And that's why she questions him about like, what's your connection to Harmony? And then he says, I thought we had an agreement that we don't ask each other, you know, about our pasts. That's how that all came about.
Right.
So he says, get somebody else to do it. I'm not gonna do it. And she asks him why. He says, well, Diana's not going, so I'm not going. And I want to spend more time with her and make her fall in love with me. And I have to do that here. If she's not going, I don't want to be that far away from her for that amount of time. It's like, how long does it take to sail a boat from Bermuda to the U.S.? Like, to Massachusetts? Because Bermuda's not that far from East Coast.
Yeah. I mean, drive it up the East Coast. I mean, what, a couple of days?
Because here's the thing. They sail cruise ships out of New York. Mm-hmm. To Bermuda all the time, and I'm pretty sure they sell like 3-day cruises. So I imagine it might take one day sailing at sea. So tops, he would be gone 2 days. You can't be away from her for 2 days.
Right. 3 days max if there's like a storm or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. He's acting like he's going to be gone for 10, 12 years.
Yeah. But the truth is he just doesn't want to go to Harmony. Right.
Right.
And Diana not wanting to go is a convenient excuse. Well, Diana comes back and she's like, no, I want to go. He's like, wait, what? You said, what are you talking about? You said you didn't want to go. She says, I think there's a link here. There's something there. Why would I have such a deep, like, or such a big response when I hear the word Harmony and hear about the town Harmony? There's something to that. He says, well, too bad, bitch. We're staying on the island. Straight up, y'all. Like, he doesn't say too bad, bitch, but he literally looks at her and is like, I just don't think it would be a good idea to go.
Yeah.
Excuse me, you are not my parent or guardian.
Right? And it was funny too, because Diana's like, she's so confused. Like, you were like so gung-ho like a half hour ago about going, and now you don't want to go. And the funniest line was when she was like, especially because you need the money. Mm. And Liz goes, ain't that the truth?
Yes.
She like, did. You owe that girl money.
So much money. You and your wannabe girlfriend staying at her hotel for free, eating up all her damn sandwiches.
$3.99 on coffee, sandwiches, bed, like hotel room. What else?
Clothes. All those clothes Liz gave her from all those suitcases she stole from other people. It's just
the amount of stuff that they owe her, bruh.
Yeah.
You have, at this point, you are an employee of the Liz Bed and Breakfast, and you need to pay your dues. Mm-hmm. Go on that trip, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm your boss. This is your task. Go. But yeah, he says, well, I just think it would be better if we stayed on the island. And he walks away, like, end of discussion. I don't know. I just find him so disgusting. Like, you clearly don't want her to find out about her past. Mm-hmm. Obvious. It's obvious.
Yeah.
And I know that he doesn't want to go to Harmony because of all the dirt he has in Harmony, right? Like, mm-hmm. all of his shit, and he doesn't want to face up to his past.
Right.
But to tell her, for her to come back and say, yes, I do want to sail to Harmony with you. Let's do this because I think this is very important to me. And for him to be like, no, I think it's just better we stay on the island. I couldn't stand that. When he said, I think it's better. You think it's better. But what about what I think? I don't think it's better. I'm the one with amnesia. I'm the one that's grasping at clues.
Literally. And like, as much as you say you care about me, the one thing now that I'm like so passionate about and excited about, like, and we have this incredible opportunity to go, and now you don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that say about you?
Yeah. She says, is there something more that you're not telling me? He says, I just changed my mind. And then he leaves. Then Liz finds him and says, you know, hey, I can tell that there's something going on. Just know that if you ever want to talk about Harmony, mm-hmm. I'm here for you.
Right.
And then Brian finds Diana looking at a map of the Eastern Seaboard. Mm-hmm. And he can tell that she really, really, really is upset because she thinks that there's something there. And he agrees to take her to Harmony on the boat, to take the boat back to Harmony. So let's go to Harmony, shall we?
Let's go to Harmony.
Luis has made it back to Harmony with Beth. And
it came in guns blazing.
Honey, he went straight to the mansion. Let me tell y'all, he went straight to the mansion. So let's talk about what's going on at the mansion.
He didn't even put his bags down. He was ready. Banging on the front door like they owed him money.
Like they owe him money. Like he was the police, because he is the police. I am the police. Okay, so let's go over to the Crane Mansion and see what is going on with these folks, honey. It's a lot. It's been a lot. It's been a long time coming. Y'all about to find out. There's a lot going on. Okay.
So much.
So, Ethan and Teresa have a conversation about it, reestablishing trust and how Ethan could marry her if they had, there were any more secrets. You know, just run-of-the-mill recap of where we are in their relationship. Meanwhile, Julian and Harper are discussing their double standards for women. And how, like, a man can do what he wants, but a woman has to be faithful to only her husband. And Julian talks about how he is shocked at how calmly Ethan has accepted the fact that he slept with his future wife, that Julian slept with his future wife. And Harper reassures Julian, because Julian's like, "You sure Ethan knows? Are you sure?" And Harper's like, on the phone, he told me that he knew everything, and Teresa told him everything, and everything was out in the open. And that's my Harper impression for everybody. And so Julian says, "Oh, okay, well, good. We can talk. We can compare notes." I've been saying, he has a death wish, because why would you bring that up? Why would you bring that up? Even if Ethan did know about it, you don't have to talk. Y'all don't have to talk about that.
Like, it's so unnecessary. Like, that's so awkward to have that kind of conversation with your former son. Like, that's just weird. So, like, why bring it up when you already know the man would kick your butt when he finds out? So, like,
no. So, Ethan and Teresa come to the mansion. They show up. They meet Ivy, who is coming, meets them there as well, because they came from the hospital. If y'all remember, there was all the debacle at the hospital with all the explosion, I guess, was the last thing that happened there and all of that bullshit. So, Ivy's coming from the hospital because she insisted she be released from the hospital. Released,
yeah.
Which is an important factor into why Eve ends up here.
Yes.
Yeah.
When she walked in, I was like, "Oh, snap. We back. She back.
Everybody ends up at this mansion. Everybody of import in this town ends up at this mansion during this whole thing. So they knock at the door. A maid comes to the door and welcomes Teresa as Mrs. Crane. "Welcome home, Mrs. Crane," talking to Teresa. Ivy. Ivy is livid. Livid. She's like, "I am Mrs. Crane. The last time I checked, there is only one Mrs. Crane of this home." And then she just like rolls into the door like a bat out of hell.
I thought she ran over that woman's feet. I was like, that maid has no feet anymore.
She might have. She was.
I ran over her.
Like, she was pissed.
I literally, in my notes, I have her, "Ivy is pissed" in all capital letters.
Yeah, she was pissed. And then Teresa walks in and starts to fantasize about being the mistress of the manor, about being the rich Mrs. Crane. Interesting, Teresa. But she's like, "No. I'm going to be Ethan's wife. This will never be my home." Okay, girl. Anyway, Teresa, Whitney comes over too. Whitney shows up. I don't know how she ended up being there, because she didn't come with them. I guess she just came for moral support to watch the annulment, because they're there to sign the annulment papers.
Right.
So everybody's like showing up for moral support for Teresa, I guess. And Ethan goes off to like find Julian, I think, or Harper. And Whitney warns Teresa about lying to Ethan again. Yeah, so Whitney comes. She warns Teresa about lying to Ethan and says, "You need to just be honest with him about making love with Julian and or sleeping with Julian." I don't think they ever say making love with Julian.
Yeah.
Sleeping with Julian. And Teresa's like, "No, I'll take my chances." She's like, because in her mind, once the annulment is signed, there's no reason for Ethan to know, which I honestly can agree with.
Yeah.
I'm going to be real with y'all. I can fully agree with. Because also at the time, if we being real, they were not together.
That's true. That is true.
If we're being real, their wedding had been called off. They were not together. She just ran away from the church. So in her mind, I think it was like, "I need to go down here to get Ethan back." And take care of this. I, you know what, y'all, I might be giving her a little bit too much credit, because when Ethan was looking for her and Whitney had found her and Whitney did try to explain to her, Ethan wants to forgive you. He wants to talk to you. He still wants to marry you. Teresa was like, no, I need to do this to make it up to him. So you know what? I take that back. Okay. I take it back. I'm sorry. I can't give it to her. I guess since they hadn't talked, then they still weren't together because they hadn't officially gotten back together. But
right.
It's a gray area either way. So she says, no, I'll take my chances. I'm not going to tell him because if he finds out, he'll never love me. He'll never forgive me. He'll never be able to get over it. So Teresa wants to go and find Julian because Julian's the only person besides the other people who already know who could possibly blow this up. So she wants to find Julian to tell him, make sure you say nothing about us sleeping together because Ethan does not know that part.
Yeah.
And so she wanders around the mansion trying to find Julian. She finally gets upstairs and gets to his room and starts yelling at the bathroom door. So she's in his bedroom and there's a door to a bathroom in his bedroom. And she can hear water running through the door. And so she's like, oh my God, Julian, thank God I found you. It's a door, by the way. She didn't see him. It's a door. Julian, thank God I found you. I just want to make sure you know and understand that Ethan does not know we slept together and he can never know. Do you hear me? Ethan can never know we slept together. Julian, do you hear me? Like, it was insane. She yelled at that door for a minute and a half straight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just saying the same thing. Yep. Frantically, Ethan can never know that we slept together, so make sure you keep that to yourself, right? Well, who was on the other side of that door?
It was not Julian. It was Harper washing his hands of all the chaos that was going down in this house. And he's like, he walks out and she's like, Harper? And he's like, yeah, Julian's not here. He went downstairs already. And Teresa is floored.
Yeah. Yeah. And he didn't hear anything she had said. So even if Julian had been in there, yelling through the door would have amounted to nothing.
So
she then tells Harper, yo, Ethan doesn't know that Julian and I slept together. And Harper's like, oh, things just went from bad to worse. And so they head down to try and stop Julian.
Yeah.
But before that happens, Whitney comes and like, I don't know how they got separated again. It got so convoluted at one point with people moving from here to there.
It was, so Teresa went upstairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she went up the back staircase because Ethan had just caught her going up the front staircase. Ethan had gone to the library to meet with, to wait for Julian to come down. So when Teresa went upstairs to go find Julian, I'm believing there's another staircase that Julian came down because clearly Whitney didn't see him coming down from like that front staircase in the like lobby area, the atrium, whatever you call it. And so Julian came downstairs. Whitney, I think at that point is like, oh, goes to the library to check on everything. And that's when she realizes that Ethan and Julian are in there together. And then she goes upstairs.
Thank you, Uche. You said it all. That's exactly. And so she goes upstairs to tell Teresa, girl, they're downstairs talking to each other. And so, and
Teresa's like, oh shit, it's time.
Yeah. And yeah, that's exactly what happens. She starts doubling over in pain. Like the baby's coming. Yep. Like she has like horrible, horrible, like, abdominal pains, which is connected to something that happens in magic. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, she's just in horrible, horrible pain. She's like, I have to get downstairs. I have to stop Julian. Like she is in horrible pain. But she is going to go downstairs regardless. So she gets down there. She makes it inside and yells, Julian, no. And Ethan's like, girl, what? Why are you yelling, Julian? No.
He's so confused.
And he, because he believes absolutely anything Teresa says, anything that comes out of her mouth, he believes it, even though she has proven herself to be a liar. I mean,
when Ivy says like that she lies all the time, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. She's just a hypocrite for saying it, like, exactly. And acting like she's so much better. But she's definitely not wrong. Yeah, this girl lies a lot. At this point, she has started lying a ton. So, but he believes everything that she says. And so she says, oh, no, I yelled out Julian's name because I thought maybe he was talking about what happened in Bermuda. And I don't want him bringing up, like, those bad things. We're trying to get past that. Let's just sign this annulment and be done with it. And I just want to marry you, basically. And this is when Harper pulls Julian to the side and tells him, right, Ethan has no clue that you slept with Teresa. And then Harper opens his desk drawer, not Harper, Julian opens his desk drawer and pulls out his gun, puts it, like, hides it, and excuses himself. He's like, excuse me, Harper and I have some business to attend to. Because he's trying to just, like, I think he's trying to get out of the house.
Yeah, he's trying to leave.
So as he's trying to leave, let's talk about, while that all is happening, let's talk about what's happening with Pilar and Ivy. Pilar and Ivy have been having an exchange of words back and forth. Same old, same old. Ivy accusing Teresa of being a liar, conniving slut. Pilar saying, stop talking shit about my daughter, you bitch, you hypocritical bitch. And so they do finally have that conversation where Pilar calls Ivy a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. Or did Ivy call Pilar a hypocrite? They eventually called each other hypocrites.
Yes. Yeah, but I think they both say it at different points between, I think, like, episode two and one and two, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Pilar calls Ivy the queen of deception at one point.
And she's not wrong. She's not wrong. And Pilar's been there to see it all, right? Like, she knows. She's seen Ivy's schemes. In fact, she has participated in Ivy's schemes. Yeah. So she knows.
She knows all of it.
Yeah. So anyway, they're having this exchange of words. Ivy accuses Pilar of just trying to cover for her daughter. She says, I know Teresa has a secret. I will uncover it. And Pilar says, Ethan is my daughter's whole life. She loves him with her entire heart and her entire being. Isn't that the kind of love that you want for your son? And Ivy says, love isn't enough. And Pilar says, why? Because love wasn't enough for you? Woo! She said, why? Because love wasn't enough for you? You never left Julian for Sam, even though you said you loved him all these years. Love wasn't enough for you then. And Ivy says, I still love Sam, and I will never give up on him. And that's when Sam walks in, and he's like, what the hell are you up to now, Ivy? It was good. Y'all, this week was good.
When he walked in, I literally was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Especially because he heard her say that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It wasn't like one of those things where, like, he walked in afterwards and we just, like, get that little fake out. Like, he heard her exactly say those words. And he's like, what are you up to? What you
up to? But, like, father, like son. This man, Sam Bennett, whatever Ivy says, if she says it with enough conviction, he believes it at this point, especially. Like, I think before, when she was throwing her naked body at him.
It was a little different then. Now he's like,
He believes her. Yeah. She says, oh, I actually, that's you misunderstood what I was saying. I know you love Grace and that you're never going to leave Grace. I know that your marriage is strong, but that doesn't change the way I feel about you. Girl, she is a master. She's so good.
She's incredible. No, this is the this is when, like, after Sam leaves, that this is when she calls her
the hypocrite.
Calls her the hypocrite and the queen of deception.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, you literally have done, like, you can't sit here, like, condemning Teresa for the things that she's done when you literally sat here, hugged this man, saying all of these things with a smile on your face, knowing that you're just being a liar.
She told him that she called him there because she was the one that called him to come to the mansion. And he was reticent to go. He didn't really want to go. But she was like, she invoked the name of Ethan, of course. Your son. You need to be here for your son. You've been a deadbeat for 25 years. Not your fault. Not your fault.
Unintentional. But.
But, I mean, he ain't had you in a while. So, anyway.
To protect him.
She called him over. To jail. Exactly. She called him over saying, I need you to be here just in case something happens. I'm worried that Ethan will try to kill Julian again, right? And so she brings that up. She says, yeah, I just wanted you here to help your son if he needs it. How could I, a mere paraplegic, undermine you from this chair? Girl, she...
And the Oscar goes to...
Like, for real. At least the Daytime Emmy.
Honestly.
I hope she did win a Daytime Emmy because she's great.
She's incredible.
Yeah. So she says, I know when to give up. And then she very tearfully says, I just wish you would believe me when I tell you I have given up. Mm. It was a performance, honey. And you're right. He apologizes to her. He apologizes to her and says, I'm sorry, Ivy. And Ivy just has him right where she wants him, right? Yeah. And then that's when he leaves and Pilar calls her the master of deception. Yep. And they both call each other hypocrites. And they're both right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're both correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. Y'all are both hypocrites. That's why y'all best friends. Y'all got things in common.
This relationship didn't just stem off of, like, we know it started off of a working relationship. Like, mm-hmm. you were my boss and everything. But it built into a den of secrets, holding on to secrets. So you two know everything about each other
mm-hmm.
for years. We're talking decades, at least 2 decades. And then you're going to sit here being like, no. Read mm-hmm. each other. Feed each other because truth is right there.
They both call each other hypocrites. They're both correct. And neither thinks that they are a hypocrite. That's why y'all best friends. And mm-hmm. then Pilar says to Ivy something that we have been saying on this show for a long time. Yeah. Pilar says, you hate my daughter because you see yourself in her. But the difference is my daughter is a young girl in love and she's not out to harm anyone. Not a soul, but you are a liar who is out to harm Grace and break up her marriage. Mm-hmm. She's not wrong. She's not wrong. She's correct. Yep. But Ivy's not going to take that sitting down.
Well.
Okay, that was fucked up.
She kind of has to, girl.
She doesn't have a choice but to take it sitting down. That's fucked up. Y'all know. I'm sorry. No, that's very ableist. I should not be talking like that, making jokes like that. But it is the truth. Uche, stop laughing.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry. But Ivy continues. You know what, bitch? No, she didn't say that. She says, your daughter is a liar, and I will not stop until I prove it. And that's when Sam comes in back in, and he defends Teresa, saying, I know Teresa. I've known her whole life. She's a good person with a good heart. Yes, sometimes her methods might leave a much to be desired, but she's not. Okay. She never does anything out of malice. And I know she loves Ethan with all her heart. Ivy fires back again that Teresa is a liar. That's really all she has on Teresa. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't have... any other, because, you know, she could be like, she's a liar. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But that's the one thing she always comes back to, is that Teresa is a liar. So she says, Teresa is a liar. And whatever lie it is that she has right now, it is a big one. And Pilar says, don't listen to Ivy. She's been lying to you. She says she's been lying to you for all these years. And she thinks because she lied to you, for all those years, she thinks that all women lie to men, but that's simply not the case. Child, Pilar was reading Ivy for filth.
She really was. This episode, this collection of episodes, Pilar said, play with me and you're going to see what happens.
Ivy says to Pilar, Pilar, I'm getting dangerously close to firing you. And Pilar says, go ahead. Ah! Girl, go on. Who gonna back you up in this mansion, this viper pit of a mansion that you live in with these two people that want you dead? Girl, you need me here. Shut up. Literally. You're not about to fire no damn body.
Also, technically, I don't even work for you anymore because my daughter is the Mrs. Julian Crane of the house now.
You make some excellent points.
So, in reality, you can't even fire me.
You make an excellent point. You make an excellent point. Actually, this is my daughter's fucking house. Didn't you hear that maid call her Mrs. Crane when she came up to this door? Didn't you hear that? I know you did, because you was steam coming out your ears, fire coming out your head. Uh-huh. No, I know you did. You make a great point. Don't push me. She said, wait a minute, don't make me call Crane Security. Don't make me get Sam to drag you out of here for trespassing. Okay. Oh, you make a great point. Yeah. So, anyway, Sam tells them both that they're saying things that they're going to regret later and that they need to take some space apart to calm down. And then he just leaves and these two women just stay here and fight with each other. Like, they do not take his advice. Sam goes and finds Teresa and Ethan. He talks to them. And it's kind of sweet. He tells them that he has faith in their bond. He advises them to not to keep any secrets from each other. He says, you know, I almost lost my marriage for a secret that I kept for a long time. And yeah. That was wrong. And I hope you can learn from my mistakes. Ethan, of course, is like, oh, Dad, we know everything about each other. There's no secrets between me and Teresa. There couldn't possibly be. She just told me. Except we've established that she's a liar.
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, then they hear a commotion in the living room because
somebody's banging on the door.
Somebody is knock knock knocking on the door. knocking on the Crane Mansion door, banging like they the police. You know why? Because they are the police. It's Luis, and I am the police. Open up. Open up. And so it's Luis and Beth. Pilar goes to the door, opens it. He comes in blazing high. He just zooms past her, sees Julian, who, remember, had just left the study with his gun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Had just left the study with his gun. And so he charges for Julian, gets him, starts strangling the fuck out of this man. And I mean, there was no time. It happened so incredibly fast.
He went from the front door to like choking Julian like over the couch in 2 seconds. It was wild.
Yeah. But then I guess Sam pulls Luis off. Sam and Ethan manage to pull Luis off. And then Julian pulls out his gun and starts pointing it at everybody. Like
everyone's
this.
Screaming.
Yeah. Like that, like this, if you're watching, he was just like, now, I'm the one with the power here. Like, he really, like, put your hands in the air. Like, he looked like a, like, he just looked like a kid. Yeah, exactly. He looked like a kid playing, like, cops and robbers, right? But, so he has the gun, and Luis is about it. I'm sorry, y'all. Luis is about that fucking life because he still charges. He charges after Julian again because he's like, you're going to pull a gun on my fucking family?
Right, oh. Not on my watch. And let's go.
And so he like charges him, but then before Luis can get to him, Julian pulls the trigger on the gun. Teresa falls to the floor as if she's been shot. It was obvious she wasn't shot. Right. And, yeah. You know, but they're like, I think it's Luis. Yes. Luis is like, you shot my sister. I think he said, you killed my sister.
Yeah.
You killed my sister, you bastard. And he just like gets the gun, starts beating his ass. And the thing is, here's my thing. If my sister had just gotten shot, maybe I would check on her
first before trying to kill the person.
I don't know, though. You know, there's plenty of people around to keep her safe. Maybe Luis is the only person with enough guts to, like, go after an armed gunman. We need him.
Because Ethan, like, immediately, like, falls to the ground and is like, Teresa! Pilar's like, my baby! My baby! Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so she's on the floor. Luis is like, you killed my sister! I'm going to kill you! He gets the gun from him. He's like, beat him up. Teresa starts to wake up and says, oh, I fainted. I must have fainted out of fear because I thought that Julian had shot Luis. Mm-hmm. And so Luis again goes back to trying to kill Julian. Like, it ebbs and flows. There's like moments where he's choking Julian and then somebody pulls him off. And then he's choking Julian and then somebody pulls him off. And then, so while everybody's like checking on Teresa, when Teresa came to, I think that's when he stopped. Mm-hmm. And but then he goes back to trying to kill him again. Right. And then everybody's like, it's not worth it. Don't kill Julian. You'll go to jail for the rest of your life. It's not worth it. It's funny because Ivy is like, yeah, hopefully he'll finish the job that Ethan started at the hospital.
Yeah.
And then Sam's like, no, you can't do this. Pulls him off. Mm-hmm. And then Ivy says, Julian, do us all a favor and kill yourself. Girl, I cracked up. Because then he fired back, shut up, you old something. And I couldn't understand the word he said.
So like, he called her like an old wench or something.
I couldn't understand. It was like, hedada. And I was like, I don't know what that word means.
I went back to try and listen to it. I don't know. Me
too. I don't know either. But so we are done with people trying to kill Julian at this point. It was just funny when Ivy's like, do us all a favor and kill yourself. Also, she was thrilled when she thought Teresa had been shot.
Oh yeah, that was not okay. She was like, you could see like the sadness on her face when Teresa started moving. I was like, girl.
Yeah. Really? She was excited when she thought Teresa had been shot and that Luis was going to kill Julian, which would mean the implication of that meaning that Luis would spend the rest of his life in jail, which is like what we have established is why we're not why we're keeping these secrets in the first place, because these men apparently can't control themselves and will commit murder and can't use their brains. And so it's like, I don't want my son, speaking as Ivy. Ivy doesn't want her son going to jail for killing Julian, but she's perfectly okay with her best friend's daughter being shot to death and then her son going to jail for murder. Mm-hmm. Ivy is a bad friend. I've been saying that for a very long time. She is not a friend to Pilar. Pilar is a friend to Ivy. Ivy is not a friend to Pilar.
Yes.
Period. Agreed. Full stop. Yep. Because I don't care how much on the outside I am with one of my best friends. You know, I have friends that I've been friends with for over 20 years. Yeah. And I have a friend who was my closest best friend. And we have had a falling out. Like, we're not really friends like that anymore. Mm-hmm. But I would not be gleeful, joyful, happy if anything happened to her kids. If I found out something was happening to her kids, her mother, anybody, her family members, if she's going through a hard time, I would be devastated myself, frankly. Mm-hmm. But not Ivy, because she's a bad friend. She's selfish. She only cares about herself. So where are we, girl?
Oh, we are. So everybody's arguing basically in the living room, and then Eve walks in. Yeah. And I literally was like, bitch, where have you been? Like, we haven't seen you in weeks, I feel like.
No, it was funny because you saying, where have you been? And I was like, why are you here? She walked in. I was like, Eve? Why is Eve here?
And then at this point, it's like everybody else is here, so she might as well be here.
She might as well be. And she explains that she found out from the hospital that Ivy had insisted on being released and checked herself out early, and she wanted to make sure that she wasn't doing more damage doing more damage to her legs. Excuse me. So yeah, Eve walks in. She's like, what the hell's going on here? Ivy explains gleefully. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of gets broken up. So Eve takes Teresa to go examine her in the study, the library. Yep. Of course, Ivy goes back to accusing Teresa of lying to Ethan, and Ethan steps in to defend her. He keeps defending her. And then Ethan later asks Sam to talk to Ivy, and it was really sweet. And the only reason I bring this up is because I thought this was a lovely moment. I'm loving the moments of Ethan and Sam having like father-son moments.
Yeah, they've been very sweet.
Because they're obviously very meaningful to Ethan and to mm-hmm. Sam. Yeah. You know, they're very meaningful to both of them, and I just love it. Ethan asks Sam to talk to Ivy about Teresa. It's very lovely. He calls him dad again. And we get a nice little like a nice little lovely
cue. Yes, we had that music thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Sam then talks to Ivy and compares her actions of spying on Teresa, because he finds her eavesdropping on Teresa and Eve. And so he finds her, he pushes her away from the door, and he compares her actions of trying to keep Teresa and Ethan apart to her father and Alistair Crane and Julian's actions when they separated the two of them when they were younger. And he's not entirely wrong. I loved him making this comparison. You would think it would get through to Ivy, but of course it doesn't. She pretends like it does, but it does not.
Right.
She lies to his face, acting like, cause he says, so actually let me say what I wrote in my notes. He compares her to her father, for trying to tear them apart. And then he says, it's not up to us. It's up to them. But like your father did, he took it into his own hands, our relationship into his hands, and you are doing the same thing. And he says to her, don't play God, Ivy. You could be taking away Ethan's chance at happiness the same way your father and Alistair did to you. And they argue back and forth some more about Teresa. Ivy says, this is an entirely different situation. And Sam's like, is it? And she's like, yeah.
It's not.
She's like, yeah, Teresa lied to Ethan. And he's like, but your actions are doing the same types of things and being really nasty and manipulative of the situation and trying to keep them apart and not letting them make their own decisions. That's the same. And that's the problem. That was always the problem. You have to let them figure it out for themselves. If Teresa is lying to him, it's unfortunate, but he has to find that out on his own. You know what I mean?
That's what you do as an adult. Like, you have to deal with your own actions. I mean, like, not even as an adult. As a human being, that is just what you have to do. So her trying to, like, step in the way and try to protect him from everything is just so unnecessary.
Yeah. And Sam says to her, you know, I hate that I wasn't around to help raise Ethan, but I have to give it to you, Ethan. I mean, I have to give it to you, Ivy. Ethan, you've raised him wonderfully. He's a wonderful man. And despite having grown up in like this cold environment, I can tell that you gave him a lot of love and that you did a wonderful job raising him. She loves this praise, of course. She says, thank you. And then he says, and since you did such a wonderful job raising him, you should let him make his own decisions. She doesn't like that. But she lies and says, you're right. I should. As soon as he walks away, she's like, I'm sorry, Sam, but I will not let my son marry that lying slut. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as he walks away, because she's a lying slut. So
I mean...
So by her own metric, literally, she is a lying slut. I'm just saying. I didn't say that. She did.
Yeah. Take it back to your wedding day, girl.
Meanwhile, Eve takes Teresa to examine her in the library. Ooh. And it becomes pretty clear that Teresa is pregnant. She explains she's been having these symptoms, like she's been sick to her stomach. She's been craving Rocky Road ice cream with peppermint crunch, which I never heard of in my life. That's what she's been craving. And Eve is like, okay, honey, I want you to take a test. I have a test for you. Da da da. She doesn't tell her it's a pregnancy test. Mm-hmm. She gives it to her, and then she comes back. And also, like, isn't a pre? No, I'm not gonna act like I don't know what a pre. I have taken enough pregnancy tests to know. Mm-hmm. It's a pee test.
It's a pee test. Yeah.
But there's no bathroom here. Nope. Did Teresa go and pee and then come back? Maybe.
I think she did, because like the way they cut the scene, when they come back together, like Teresa's coming from one area of the room and Eve's coming from the other.
Okay.
So I think she did.
That makes sense. So Eve breaks the news, babe, this test is positive. And Teresa's like, what does that mean? It's like, she says, you're pregnant with Julian Crane's baby.
Oh! Dun, dun, dun!
Oh, no! I'm afraid you're pregnant with Julian Crane's baby, Teresa. Oh, no. Teresa does not take it well. That's an understatement.
I was about to say, I was like, that's a little light. Teresa loses her mind.
She does not take it well. Lord. And she starts to just like wild. She's crying. She's sobbing, which understandably so. Like, let's be clear. Let's be clear of what the ramifications of this and the implications of this are. It means she's pregnant with her rapist baby.
Yep.
Unless I'm just gonna call a spade, a pig, a pig. It means that she's pregnant with her rapist baby. Of course, the soap opera does not paint it that way. But that is what it is.
Yep.
So, of course, she should be extremely devastated. Yeah. Horrified. She's really upset. But then she remembers, wait, I had sex with Ethan. I had sex with Ethan the night before our wedding. This isn't Julian's baby. This is Ethan's baby. This is Ethan's baby. This, you know, and then that pendulum of her emotion swings wildly in the other direction. Yep. And the thing is, at best, she should be at like, okay, could be, could not be, right? Like, at best.
Yep.
you know?
She goes to the complete opposite end. She's like, everything is fine. It's Ethan's baby. We're fine. Everything is good.
I'm having the baby of the man I love.
Yes. And Eve is looking at her like, girl.
Yeah.
Girl. And that's when Eve goes, Teresa, weren't you on birth control? And Teresa's like, yeah, I was on birth control. I took it. And then she starts walking around the room because she realizes that during the wedding craziness and running off to Bermuda, she stopped taking her birth control.
Yeah. But I want to say something about that. Because Eve is a fucking doctor. A terrible one. Because Teresa took her very first birth control pill the day her and Ethan had sex. That ego was bound to get prego. She's a fertile myrtle. Yep. And you can't, the birth control does not work on the first day that you
take. It's not plan B.
It takes about 2 weeks to a month for it to be effective. They tell you that you should still use condoms for a full month.
Right.
To avoid pregnancy. So there's just no, Eve is a doctor. I'm sorry. Eve is a doctor and she knows the timeline from when Teresa went on birth control.
Right.
She's a fucking doctor. It just drives me nuts that she didn't say, you know, There is a possibility that Ethan could be the father of your baby, considering you had just started the birth
control. Started, right, exactly.
Right? Because honestly, taking one or two pills, because let's talk about the timeline here too, actually.
That's true. Like, all of this is happening very, very fast.
Let's talk about the timeline here. The date of conception would either be the day before their wedding or... Right. The day after their wedding.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's 3 days between. There's 3 days, three suns and moons between those conception dates. It takes like a week for the shit to even implant in your uterus. Mm-hmm. So it's ridiculous that Eve, a doctor, but I guess gynecology is not her specialty. I guess the lady can do hypnosis. She can do psychotherapy. she can be the town coroner. She can be the medical examiner. Yep. But this woman who is a medical doctor, she don't know enough about birth control. she can't necessarily tell you the science behind it. It's crazy.
It was insane. I was sitting here like, oh Lord, oh Lord. And this truly, this moment is the crux of the next 7 years. This moment is truly the crux of the next 7 years, because we are going to go through the chaos of who's the baby daddy when we find out who actually is the baby daddy. And then when we find out later how all of this actually pans out.
Happened. Yeah. Yeah. This goes on for a long time, for sure.
So strapping, y'all.
And, you know, honestly, the way it all kind of works out, the way they tell this story is actually, I kind of like it. I'm not going to lie.
It does end up being really good.
Yeah. I love the intrigue. Who's the daddy? Her trying to keep this secret, trying to figure out what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is coming up. Maria and I were actually talking on the watch party about how the next time she guest hosts, the episodes are about Teresa grappling with whether she's going to have an abortion or not. And how in the treatment of that in the show, what that's going to be like to talk about. She's like, we're going to have to be careful, you know? And I was like, yeah, I haven't seen it, but I imagine I deeply disagree with how they treat Teresa in this very, very horrible moment for her.
Yeah.
And how they treat her for even thinking about getting an abortion.
Yeah.
So I am and I'm not looking forward to it. You know, I don't remember those episodes. So partially I'm looking forward to see like, what did they do? But part of me is like, I already know what the fuck they did.
Right. Exactly.
But anyway, Teresa, you're pregnant with Julian Crane's baby girl, and you were on birth control when you had sex with Ethan. So it's probably not his. That's basically what Eve is telling her. Ooh, she's such a bad doctor. She's so bad at her job. Oh, somebody needs to sue that lady.
Honestly, because I'm like, the amount of things that she has jacked up because she just says the wrong information is insane. And I'm like, we could just be in a situation where it's like, you know, once the time is right, we can have a paternity test done. We can find out who this baby's daddy is.
Yeah, we'll just do a DNA test. It's that simple. Yep. But you're going to have to be honest. The thing is, Teresa doesn't want to be honest about anything.
Right. She wants to hide it. She's, It's
well, Teresa says, well, there's a chance that the test wasn't accurate, right? And Eve says, well, these tests are 99% accurate. Okay, girl. And then Teresa's like, so there's a 1% chance. One time out of 100, it's wrong. I'm that one time. I insist. We must take another test. So she gives her another test. Eve tells her, girl, it's the same. It's positive. Well, actually, Teresa looks at the test. She's like, I don't know what this means. Because Eve just hands it to her. And she looks at it. She's like, I don't know what this means. And Eve's like, girl, that's a positive. It's a positive test. You're pregnant. This ego is prego.
You are pregnant.
Yeah. And so, the second test is positive. Teresa starts welling up with tears. She's so, when I say I teared up, my nose started to burn a little bit. She's devastated that she's even pregnant, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that it's in this moment, this doctor is telling her that it's likely Julian Crane's baby. She's devastated. And then I know I just talked so much mad shit about Eve, but the thing that made me tear up in this scene was actually watching Eve's reaction to Teresa. Yeah. Because knowing her history, it was very hard for her to give Teresa this news, and then to watch her basically relive Eve's own history, her own worst time in her life. and she knows what's coming for her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She feels like she already knows where, and it's putting her back into the headspace of where she was when she found out she was pregnant with Julian's baby, and like all the aftermath of all that. And then also on top of that, the fact that she lost that baby.
Right.
And dealing with those emotions. Isn't her name Tracy Ross? I'm pretty sure it's Tracy Ross.
I think it's Tracy. Yeah.
She did a beautiful job doing mm-hmm. this. She didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. It was just the reaction to Teresa was so somber, so sad. I could see it all over her face, in her body language. She was devastated. You could tell she really wanted to embrace Teresa, tell her it's going to be okay. I went through the same thing. You can get through it. But she's still keeping this secret. She can't tell Teresa.
Can't say anything.
She can't say anything to Teresa about mm-hmm. it. And she does eventually hug Teresa and comforts her, but she says, you know, you have to tell Ethan the truth. Mm-hmm. Teresa says, no, I can't. I cannot tell him the truth. How can I tell him I'm having another man's baby? Not only am I having another man's baby, I'm having Julian Crane's baby, the man that he grew up thinking was his father. I'm having his baby. She says, what man could forgive that? And I hate that. I mean, I understand why that's where Teresa's mindset is, but I hate that that's what we center on. This is how is Ethan going to feel about it?
Right. Like, we forget about her as an individual, like, who is actually going to deal with this whole situation.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to affect her, and she's, like, because she loves this man, is just like, no, like, but he's going to be so upset. But like, girl, what about your feelings? Your feelings are so valid and important in this situation as well.
Yeah.
Like, this is your future too.
She's going to be a teen mom, basically.
Literally. She's what? 19?
19. Yeah.
Woo.
So, Eve tells her, you have to tell Ethan the truth. And when you tell him the truth, yes, he might be angry with you, but his fury will mostly be focused on Julian and what he did to you. And then Teresa says, that's another thing. Louise and Ethan were ready to rip Julian to shreds just because he married me. Imagine what they're going to do when they find out that we not only did he have sex with me, but now I'm pregnant with his baby. She says they'll go to jail for murdering him for the rest of their lives, which is a little thing that I hate on this show, that they keep saying this and like keep acting like these men can't figure out how to control their rage. Mm-hmm. They can control their rage. And another thing, you know, y'all, you're the one who can control when and where the secret comes out.
Right.
It doesn't have to come out right here, right now in the Crane Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take them to dinner where they can't make a scene. The Lobster Shack. Buy them some lobster. Butter them up. Literally, quite literally. Get them some nice herb butter shrimp, endless shrimp, some red lobster cheese biscuits, cheddar bay biscuits. But get them in a good mood, you know. Mm-hmm. And then tell them, you know, by the way.
I may have a situation.
There is a chance. First of all, I am pregnant. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise.
But don't get too excited.
And there may be a chance, just a small chance, the same amount of chance on both sides, that Julian is the father. And then throw some more shrimp at him. And then just keep throwing shrimp.
The shrimp will save the day.
Can't be mad when people throwing shrimp at your face.
No, but then you're growing a shrimp. So never mind.
Yeah. And you're not even supposed to have shellfish when you're pregnant. She can't even eat the shrimp.
She can have chicken.
Yeah, she can have the chicken, the surf and turf without the surf. Turf.
Yeah.
Turf only. Eve urges Teresa to tell Ethan the truth, and then Ethan walks in. He's worried for Teresa. He's like, what do you need to tell me? Is Teresa sick? Teresa, are you sick? What's wrong? What is this test? What is this? He sees that oh my God, he sees that Eve has written down a note about Teresa. Again, because Eve is a bad doctor. She's just leaving patient notes and files willy-nilly all over the place where anybody could see them. HIPAA be damned. Yep. Ethan picks up the notes like, oh, I see you made a note about Teresa being on birth control. Hopefully she won't have to be on it very long because we want to have kids as soon as possible, as soon as we can afford them. And then he like looks at a picture of Julian and is like, thank God I'm not Julian Crane's son. I don't want any Crane blood coursing through the veins of my kids. Yo, it was so heavy-handed. I had to laugh. It was almost I know it was supposed to be like a dramatic moment, but it was comedic.
It was funny. It was funny. And like Teresa's in the background like, oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Oh yeah. No.
But Eve tells Ethan nothing's wrong with Teresa. She's in perfect health. Her blood pressure had dropped and that's why she fainted. And yeah, that's that on that. They I don't know. He leaves. That's what happens. He leaves for some reason. And then she cries some more. And she says, he'll never forgive me. Eve hugs her and comforts her. And meanwhile, Harper and Julian have a random conversation about Teresa possibly being pregnant. And yeah. Julian's like, that's impossible. Only rabbits and soap opera characters get pregnant from doing it once.
That I was cackling.
I loved it.
Cackling.
I loved it. Because it's like, they're telling you, yeah, of course she's pregnant. This is a soap opera, people.
Yep,
what do you expect? It's happening.
She's definitely pregnant.
Oh, what do you Lord. Expect? All right. That's it for them. You have anything to add on that front?
No. I feel like, I mean, Harper just literally was like, I mean, duh, it only takes one time. Mm-hmm. That's it.
It's such a PSA for like abstinence only.
Yeah.
You know, sex education. Because that's the line I heard over and over and over again through puberty and growing up. It only takes one time. And I was scared. I believed that shit. And I mean, it's true. Don't get me wrong. I know it's true.
Yeah, exactly.
But I felt like every time you had sex, you were going to get pregnant.
You were getting pregnant. Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk very quickly about
Sam and Grace.
Sam and Grace. Just a little bit, just fast. I don't want to deal with this for long. Grace has a conversation with Sam at one point, telling him she doesn't care what David says. And she's going to tell him, I don't care what David says. I know you love me and I'm going to tell him so. And something about painting their bedroom and not letting anything come between them. I don't know. This house has been erected and they're inside of this house. The walls need to be painted and who cares? God. Then, I'm sorry, y'all. Grace then finds David in their new house painting a wall. Trespassing. Trespassing.
Yes, exactly. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I just care about you so much. And since I helped build the house, I should help paint it and everything because I just love you so much. And Grace is like, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't think that's necessary, but okay.
At one point she says, you know, you don't have a chance of breaking up my marriage.
He does.
And he was looking like hurt. She's like, you don't have a chance of breaking up my marriage because I don't love you. Like, it's that simple. I don't love you. And then Sam turns it around on her and is like, well, I'm not Sam. David turns it around on her and is like, well, Sam loves Ivy, so. It's like, girl, you better
Grace
come.
Was like, I mean, no.
Does he though? He says he talks about how Sam still has feelings for Ivy, and that's why, Sam sees David as a threat to their marriage. It was weird. The crosstalk was very odd.
Yeah, the wording was very like convoluted, but like basically he was saying like Sam loves Ivy, I love you, like because he sees me as a threat and you don't have a memory, that's why. And I'm just like, bruh, no.
He grasping at straws at this point, which we already know. He already told Ivy, there's nothing I can do here.
Exactly.
You know? But he's trying his best because he's being blackmailed about something, which I would love to hear about. But anyway, later on, Jessica overhears him on the phone, on a suspicious phone call, and he lies to whoever it is and says, I'm not even in the country right now. No, I can't come. I'm not even in the country right now. And then she questions him about why he lied and brings up the fact that she's caught him spying on her parents with spy gear. And I don't know why she hasn't told her parents she caught him spying on them with spy gear. Like, he literally had a long zoom lens camera and audio equipment to listen in on their conversations. But anyway, she brings it up. And you know what this man said to her? He was like, why don't you have any respect for me? Why should she?
Who are you to her? She doesn't give a damn about you, bruh. Like, what?
No. I was shook on that one. I was like, who the hell? Sir, you are the man who came in here to try and break up her marriage, her parents' marriage, which she basically says as much to him. She says, yeah. I don't know you.
She said, daddy.
I don't know you. And all I know about you is that you came here to break up my parents' marriage. So, like, why should I have manners? That's what he said. He doesn't say respect. He says, you need some manners. She's like, why should I have any manners when I talk to you? You don't have any respect for my parents' marriage. Okay. And then Grace comes in and Jessica tells her that she caught David lying, and spying. And he says that he told a little white lie to get out of going on his assignment because he loves Grace so much. And Grace buys it because she's an idiot. But that's basically it.
Yeah.
Because we already talked about how Ivy is still conniving over at the mansion. So now that we over here with these Bennets, let's talk about the magic and wrap this bitch up. We're almost done.
Oh. All right.
magic. The kids, these children, they're at the house. They're at Tabitha's house.
Trying to plan this damn birthday party for charity.
Yeah. They are talking about... They start talking about the Book of Evil. Oh, I cracked up, y'all. Actually, first, before they went to Tabitha's house, they were at the site of the Bennett home looking at it. And they're like, wow, I can't believe this house is almost finished. It seems like y'all have been at Tabitha's house forever. And then Miguel brings up, like, the evil book. And he's like, yeah, remember when you thought there was an evil book, but it just turned out to be the Bible? That was weird. Like, oh my god, this show is so stupid. So meanwhile, Tabitha and Timmy are talking about helping Kay and saying that she's gonna help pick out the correct spell for Kay and, like, bookmark that spot and, you know, give it to her. And the evil book is around somewhere, okay, right? She's looking for it. The kids start planning charity's party. They're inside of Tabitha's
house. Oh, yes.
And they're sitting around the table to try and plan charity's party. And the evil book literally starts floating in the air 3 feet away from them. It is 3 feet from them.
Yep.
And Charity gets this feeling. She's like, that's it. I feel it. I feel the evil again. But she can't seem to figure out that the book is floating in her periphery.
Literally, she could see that. Like, she even at one point, if you notice, she turns her body that direction. And I'm like, where, like, in the line of sight, you would have seen this book floating.
Her powers are so stupid. Her powers are so stupid because why, once you feel the evil, why can't you stand up and let your heart lead you to the evil? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But she doesn't see the book. Nobody sees this book floating except for Kay. Kay notices it, and then she positions her body to try and keep, like, Charity from seeing it. But how she managed to keep everybody else from seeing it, I don't know.
Yeah, because Miguel's on her side of, like, the room. Like, yeah. It's like Miguel, and then Kay's behind Miguel, and then it's like Charity's phone, right? Yeah. So I'm like, even when she moves closer to Reese, I'm like, if Miguel's eyes are following, he would have seen the damn book.
That's my thing. No matter where Kay moved, she could only ever block one person's line of sight. But whatever, it doesn't matter because Tabitha and Timmy see it floating. Tabitha swoops in to get it. But we don't see Tabitha get it. What we do see, though, is that Charity Charity's like, I feel it. The evil book. And she's like, the evil book is here. And she's like, there it is. That's the evil book. Y'all, Miguel walks over to the table, picks up the giant book. He's like, it's the Bible again.
The way he was so annoyed. it's the Bible again.
It's the Bible again. I'm sorry. It's just so funny to me that Charity keeps feeling this evil book and it keeps turning out to be the Bible.
I'm like, bruh.
I don't know. It's just so interesting. And he keeps being like, this is the least evil book you could possibly have. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm not crazy, Miguel. She's like, there's an evil book and it's trying to destroy us. He's like, okay, girl, but it keeps just being this Bible.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what you want this Bible to do, but it's not gonna be doing that.
Well, Tabitha managed to get the book and she closes like the door behind her and she's off in a little alcove next to the living room. So she can kind of hear what's going on in the living room with the kids, but they can't see her. Right. And so she gets the book, starts looking for the spell. Timmy, of course, I'm so sick. I know y'all love Timmy, but sometimes he get on my fucking nerves. He gets on my nerves. He does, because here's the thing. We already saw what happened to Kay when she read a spell from this book out loud. She turned right. into a panther. So mm-hmm. common sense will tell you, you don't just say any of the spells. You look at them, mm-hmm. you read them. And then you decide. And if you want to ask Tabitha, what about this one? Just point to it and say, what about right. this one? And then she'll be like, no, don't do that. But that's not what he does. He says, what about this spell? New life, new strife, a newborn to destroy everyone's life. And then Charity starts doubling over in pain and having literal labor pains. Ooh. And she says she's having this pain and she's having a vision of a baby that's going to ruin everybody's lives. Now, I want to say this. This vision that she is having, it becomes increasingly clear as the episodes go on mm-hmm. that the vision is about Teresa and Teresa's baby.
Right.
Everyone's lives. How does Teresa's baby affect your life, Kay's life, Grace's life? I mean, I guess that makes Grace kind of a step grandma.
I guess, but
does that destroy her life? No.
Her life.
You know, nope. I mean, I know it's Julian's, but I don't know. That's another thing. Are we meant to believe that her feeling is that the baby is Julian's baby? Because why would the baby destroy everyone's life if it's Ethan's baby? Is it just that it's a baby out of wedlock?
I feel like she just doesn't have all the facts. So she's just assuming that the baby's going to just like cause all of like this chaos for everybody involved.
Yeah.
I feel like that's it. Because, yeah, if it was Ethan's baby, it'd be like, okay, that's who she wanted to have a baby with anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So then Tabitha tells Timmy, oh my gosh, look at what you've done. Charity's having labor pains. And so she goes and checks on her. While Timmy, and she's like, look for a better spell. Girl, why are you leaving this book in Timmy's hands by himself? He clearly has shown that he is not cannot be responsible with the spell book. Okay? But she leaves him to look for a spell, goes and checks on Charity. That's when Grace comes in and mentions, oh, it's the pain that you are describing sounds like labor pains. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, but that's impossible. Guffaw. Mm-hmm. Charity couldn't be pregnant. Yeah. But also labor pains would be crazy. If she was pregnant, she's not even showing.
Right. And so Miguel's sitting there like, listen, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. Having labor pains on the sofa. It wasn't me. Okay. So Grace comes in to check on her. That's when Tabitha goes to the kitchen, takes Timmy to the kitchen, and they go looking through that spell book. And they're looking for a spell to reverse the spell that Timmy had cast. Mm-hmm. I also want to mention that Miguel suggests good on Miguel, actually. Good using your noodle, buddy. Mm-hmm. He says, shouldn't we take her to the hospital? She needs medical attention. Yeah, she's doubled over in pain. Y'all, I'm not, I she's yelling out in agony. Oh, right. And she's in pain. Mm-hmm. He says, shouldn't we take her to the hospital, get her checked out, maybe get her some medical attention? Grace, the adult in the room, Grace says, well, this pain is coming from her premonitions. There's nothing that medicine could do for her. Maybe, 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 maybe not. Are maybe she's having appendicitis. Sure? Maybe she's trying to pass a gallstone. Maybe her gallbladder burst. Maybe something. There's something else going on here. And you should, I mean, just maybe go take it to the hospital just in case.
Just in case. What's the worst? You got to pay a $500 deductible? Like,
hell, Eve, your best friend, I'm sure she won't even charge you for it.
Right? That's true.
Like, I said, somebody need to call Child Protective Services on these people. They really do. Because she's like, no, it's like those Christian Science people, you know, where they're like, no, God will, God will take care of it.
Yeah,
it's like, cancer. No.
Like there's having faith, and then there's faith without works is dead.
Boom. That's exactly what I was about to say. I was like, faith without works is dead. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Right? You have to do something. God gave you all the tools.
There we go.
Use your logic and your reason. That's, yep. Look, please.
You're a doctor for a reason.
You got a best friend who's a doctor and a child who's in agonizing abdominal pain, and you won't give her a ring, say, hey, can you come check out this kid?
And you know what's funny too? Like, later on in the episode, we obviously get the like scenes of Kay fantasizing and or dreaming, I should say. And you think, because of the way that Grace treats Kay, that in this moment, she would be like, oh my God, Charity is like in pain. Let's take her. Because when it comes to Kay, she like doesn't believe her or X, Y, and Z. So in this Charity situation, you would assume that she would be like, oh my God, we got to go to the hospital. But nope. Grace is just like, it's a premonition. Everything is fine.
Everything's fine. She'll be fine. It's crazy. So in the kitchen, Timmy casts yet another spell to try and reverse the first one. I don't remember exactly. Oh, he said, babies can bring you happiness. They can bring you sorrow. You want them today, but wish they were gone tomorrow. And then dozens of babies appear in cribs in Tabitha's kitchen. Oh. And then we hear, you know, babies crying. And Reese hears a baby crying. He's like, y'all hear that? There's a baby crying. He runs into the kitchen. He sees all of these damn cribs. And once he went in there, I knew. I was like, they're going to get out of this. Let's figure it out. Of course, Timmy finds the correct spell to make it all go away, which is simply say poof. That's it. It said, when in doubt, say poof. And the spell wears off, I guess. Terrible writing.
Where was that when Kay was a panther? Like,
exactly. But you know what? We're going to keep going. We're going to keep powering through. So he runs. Of course, he runs and tells everybody, yo, there's a bunch of babies in the kitchen. And so they go. A couple of them go. I think it's Kay and Simone maybe go with him and to check it out. And and they get there and there's nothing.
Yeah.
It's not important. Not important. It's just, you know, comedy. Yep. Comedy tonight. It's just comedy.
Making Reese Durkee look like an idiot.
Yeah. Making Reese Durkee look like a turkey. Harmony's turkey. Y'all remember when they was calling him that?
Yes.
It didn't stick though.
No.
I thought it was hilarious. Okay. So anyway, David takes this opportunity because he's now come down, and I can't remember who explained to him that Charity has premonitions, but it was hilarious.
It was Reese.
Because he was like, David was like, what the hell's going on here? And Reese was like, oh, well, she has premonitions sometimes and has these visions of the future. And he's like, oh, okay. David then takes this opportunity to take advantage of the situation and says to Grace, I guess premonitions must run in your family because one of the last premonitions that you had, Grace, before I lost you, was about a man and his kids taking you away from me. That must have been, and then he said this, the audacity. Then he said, that premonition must have been about Sam and his kids. Motherfucker, those are Grace's kids.
Right? I was like, if this was the accurate premonition, it would have been another man with his own children. With
children, right.
Like, not the children she conceived with that man.
Yeah. So, that really doesn't go anywhere, but it was, I just wanted to note it because of the way he was like, a man and his children. That must be Sam and his kids. No, those are Grace's children. She birthed them. And she didn't even say anything when he said that.
No.
I don't know. It was weird. Anyway, Charity renews that she's having this vision and saying that there's a baby that will tear a man and a woman apart. And then she says she sees a gun and then she passes out. Now, this is where the connection to Teresa happens.
Right.
The reason she is having these pains is because she's having a connection to Teresa's pregnancy. And am I meant to believe that when Timmy said that fucking spell, that Teresa became pregnant?
Apparently. He is the all-knowing, apparently.
Like, was she already pregnant, or did it take this spell to, like,
make it
implant the sperm that was just, like, hanging out?
I guess. I don't, like we say, we don't know how the rules happen.
I because they connect these things. They connect the two. And it's very odd. So Kay takes the premonition to believe that she's going to have Miguel's baby, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And Charity says, you know, my stomach is still hurting, but it's so weird. I'm hungry and I'm craving Rocky Road ice cream with peppermint crunch and a pepperoni pizza. Miguel, can you go get that for me? And he's like, that's weird. That's a coincidence. Those are Teresa's favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this is about Teresa. Everything's about Teresa.
His whole 5 episodes was Teresa focused.
Yeah, so he goes to the store to get some. Then the evil book starts levitating again, and Tabitha's trying to get everybody out of the living room because we go back and forth. And I'm just about to speed run the rest of this because I know you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
But Tabitha tries to get everybody out of the living room, and she manages to do so.
Yeah.
And then she flips through the book, finds the correct spell, earmarks it, leaves it where Kay will find it. And then Kay imagines, Kay has these like visions of what it will be like once she's pregnant with Miguel's baby. And all of them are of Grace cussing her out, basically, literally, being like, you are a wicked girl. You are evil. You,
in the background, Charity's crying, like, hysterically.
You tricked Miguel into having a baby. She calls her a wicked slut. You're a wicked slut. meanwhile, Grace takes Charity upstairs to lie down. And Charity tells her about the evil book and how it turned out to be a Bible, and that Kay happened to be reading the Bible. She thought that Kay was reading the evil book, but it turned out to be a Bible. Kay's sitting up there too at this point. Mm-hmm. And Grace is like, Kay was reading the Bible? She's like, that doesn't ring true to me. Like, that just rings false.
Yeah.
And Kay's like, I can read the Bible too, Mom. And she says, if it was Jessica or Charity, you would be proud of them. But because it's me, you don't believe it and you're suspicious. Kay has a good point.
She really does. Like, her mom does not believe her, trust her. If it was Charity laying on a train track and Kay laying on a train track.
Grace, I don't know.
Grace is out here confused.
I'm not confident that Grace would. I'm not confident Grace would choose Kay. I'm not confident.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. So Kay says that Charity's premonition was wrong, and Grace says, "You know, we can't be so sure. I have premonitions too, and I've learned to trust them over the years." And then she brings up all the horrible things that have happened in their house and all that shit. And she's like, so I know that evil is definitely around and that we should stay alert and be looking out for it. Fair enough. I agree with Grace on that for sure. But Kay is hurt that her mom doesn't trust her and doesn't believe her and never takes her side. She's like, you never take my side. And then she goes downstairs and she vents to Tabitha about it. And Tabitha's like, well, let me go make you some tea. And of course, Tabitha has set it up to where Kay finds that evil book. She finds it. She flips right to the spell. And the spell is spin left, spin right, spin me into the one Miguel loves. That was it. That it doesn't even rhyme. But then she transforms into Charity. Miguel comes back in, says, I can't believe it. You look so much better. And then Kay, disguised as Charity, says, I know. It's crazy. I'm not having any premonitions anymore. And now I feel great. Let's make out.
And make out they do.
They make out hard. And Miguel is super into it. Let's be clear.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And he's down. He's ready to go to town.
He's like, wow, Charity. I mean, I'm not complaining, but your kissing is very intense today and stuff. She's like, I don't know. I just, now that the premonitions are gone, I feel so a lot less inhibited. I don't feel so inhibited. And then they talk about having babies and how having a baby can like bring two people closer together. Mm-hmm. And he goes to like go get her some pizza and ice cream, whatever. They go back and forth.
Yeah.
But she is of the mind that, you know, oh my God, this is going to work. This is going to work. I'm going to be able to get Miguel to have sex with me by pretending to be Charity. Now, this is where she fucked up. In my opinion, this is a bad, bad plan. And we'll see how it plays out in the future. But here's the thing. If I were Kay, I wouldn't, and I think she did this one time before. And I said the exact same fucking thing with the Hecuba thing. She had turned herself into Charity. And she tried to have sex with Miguel as Charity. But mm-hmm. if I'm you, I'm making Miguel not want to be with me. I'm going to have Charity.
Right.
Her be bad and just be crazy and maybe even break up with him, you know, and say crazy stuff about his mom and just be shitty in general. Mm-hmm. And then turn back into Kay, be a shoulder for him to cry on. Charity won't remember having said the shit, which is par for the course of Charity, right?
Yes.
Right?
It's right up her alley. It is right up her alley.
To me, that is the plan. But for some reason, I guess because she's 16, right. Kay's plan is to get pregnant disguised as Charity. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. Because, like, how do you explain that? How do you explain that?
we will see later how that happens. Like,
yeah. I don't remember. So I'm looking forward to figuring it out because I don't remember at all. So anyway, meanwhile, Charity is upstairs talking about the Book of Evil with Grace and... Grace like tries to explain her premonitions away. She's like, cause even though she just 5 minutes ago to Kay was like, I'm not so sure we should really be taking these premonitions seriously. The minute it's a premonition that she don't like, she was like, no, this is bullshit. Charity gets a premonition of Ivy and Sam kissing one another.
Yes.
And Grace is like, oh, well, that one's wrong. That one's wrong, but the one about your daughter being a wicked slut is true? Like, I don't know. So, they talk more about the premonitions. Charity wonders why Jessica and Kay don't have premonitions, and maybe once they come into their powers, that their powers will pull them in a different direction, away from goodness. Mm-hmm. Grace at least is like, why do you think my girls will be away from goodness and you won't? Like, why? Mm-hmm. You know, she at least kind of stands up for them, but mm-hmm. not well enough, to be frank. And then Grace does say, Kay is not perfect, but she certainly is not evil. I love Kay, but I won't believe that she's the source of this evil that you're feeling. But if Kay was ever to hurt you or try to come between you and Miguel, I would stand by you. You're not just a niece to me. I love you like my own daughter, and I will support you while I try to help Kay come to her senses. This is fair enough, actually, because, you know, I don't have kids of my own. But I have nieces and nephews, and I do think of them, like, I do believe that if I did have kids, I would treat them basically the same as I treat my kids. And if my kid was fucking wrong, if you're wrong, you're wrong.
Right, you know? If you're wrong, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I don't know.
Downstairs, Kay hears Charity and Grace like coming downstairs, and she starts to panic, trying to turn herself back into herself. Yeah. Scrambles to undo the spell, but she does not manage it. That's where we end this week. We made it.
We made it. We did it.
We did it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Uche, for being here this week. I loved it. Yet again, so fun. You were so wonderful.
Thank you.
Remind the people where they can find you on the internet.
Sure. So you can check me out on TikTok and Instagram at PinkHaze16. And then, yeah, I think those are the only two that I'm on most.
All right. And that'll be linked in the description. And remember, you can catch me on all the social media. Just check the link in the description. Of course. Of course. Join the Patreon, send me an email, come hang out. Okay. With that, you are my passion for life.